You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Dad, put your headphones on, please.
Put your headphones on, Greg.
I'm trying to get on the line here.
I love how he makes it seem like I'm making this great effort right now. To get online.
No, it's asking me for a network security key. I don't know what's going on. This is so ridiculous. Normally, I'm online automatically here.
Yeah, your house.
No, here. It automatically connects me because the computer is smart. It knows where I am. What's the name of the Wi-Fi here?
Let's just all sit here and let him.
Kind of an operation of you guys running here. You can't even get online.
My dad's reached a point in his life where he even when he's looking down, he has to look up because he's old. He like has that thing now where I'm trying to look at this computer. So I need to raise my chin and my nose a little bit.
It's got nothing to do with age.
No, he's right. That thing does come with age. The idea of you're looking up to look down.
There we go. Yep. All right. I can. All right. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah,
things are looking up.
You're jutting your chin out. Your chin is higher. Yeah. This is an absolute product of age. Your father doesn't believe that he is aging. The first 3 minutes of him fiddling around with computer equipment today would seem to indicate otherwise.
None of it my fault.
We're going to get to Stugatz's latest scam. I couldn't wait to tell Billy about it when he came in because we don't know exactly what he's up to, but I got an alleged heartfelt apology voicemail last night that was totally filled with fraud because I'm not sure he's in the country. Like, I don't know. I don't know where he is, but I'm pretty sure that it's not anywhere near where he's supposed to be, which is working today. And we don't really have an explanation. And Whittingham and I got a cryptic email like late last night. Hey, going to do the show on Zoom. No explanation. Whittingham knows. Dan knows. And we're both like confused. And he does.
If he's on Zoom, we're fine then. Is he not on Zoom?
Because he's been so good at the Zoom, because he's been so good at doing the show on Zoom, so attentive, so he's been so careful with his dog. Like, no, the show suffers every time he leaves and tries to do it on Zoom. He knows this. It suffers because it requires him. And today, we've brought in Greg Cody.
Make a call to the bullpen.
As an emergency.
Tap the right wrist.
Because late at night last night, Whittingham, you take us through this. I want to get to... we have to. We're almost obligated to. Exploring the growing chasm at ESPN over Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. We have to get into that because we've got June, we've got a chasm, we got the Dolphins. I've been wanting one of these for 20 years.
Like chasm.
People care about the Dolphin situation in general, and now there's a growing chasm at ESPN.
You love that word, don't you?
It's great. What is worse, a chasm or a schism? Which is, what would be the hierarchy of things here if we were gathering a thing of what is this, locker room divisions? Is this, because this isn't even a locker room division. This is just the analysts at ESPN are taking sides on Tua. I've said, this is perfect as a media experiment, because I've said, you cannot examine Tua, what you've seen from him, based on historic bad offensive line. We can't do it. It's not possible.
Correct.
And yet there's a chasm because we must have opinions. And so on one side, you've got Orlovsky, Dan Orlovsky, big advocate for Tua. You got Hasselbeck, former defensive lineman Marcus Spears to an extent, Dominique Foxworth, all the guys who played. Foxworth says Tua is better than Mac Jones. And on the other side, you got Mike Tannenbaum, who told you take Herbert and also ruin the Dolphins.
Yeah. He's got that Herbert win on his side, though.
Yes, but also ruin the Dolphins. Damian Woody, Stephen A. Smith, and Booger McFarland, all of whom don't expect much at all from Tua. And then Mike Greenberg just sort of sits it out. He's an anchor, not an analyst.
I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm talking
about. But
anyway,
he doesn't seem to hold Tua in high regard either. Repeatedly asking his panelists if Tua is out of excuses and under more pressure than any quarterback, a line of questioning that sets the network narrative. Lewis Riddick and Ryan Clark appear to stand somewhere in the middle.
That is true, though. He is under pressure.
Why is that setting a network narrative?
Is there a scorecard
it's
here?
It's a fairly straight matter of fact. Like, is there a lot in the Tua resume where you go, wow, he's obviously an amazing player? Like, the network narrative, that anyone with eyes can see. That there's a
well
big
said
question
winning
at
him.
Quarterback.
Winning him is crazy. Look, this is, I don't think winning
him. He's
him's
wearing a hat today. Okay, yeah. Dan?
That's wow, the first thing I said. I was like, what's going on there?
Seriously.
Extra copy.
He also spent.
On in a hat.
Wait, what does haircut day mean?
It's because I've gotten my haircut where they have to like, it takes a team of people to get the hair gel out of my hair.
What?
So, no, it doesn't. But I'm like, it's unpleasant. To go get a haircut with gel in your hair. So I can't do gel today. So
So it's unkempt. Let's
it
see
is it. Unkempt.
Whip it
no.
out.
See it.
Whip
Let's
it
see
out.
It.
Whip it out. Show me.
No, I'm good.
Dude, you don't.
How about this? I got a haircut the other day, and then I had to go to the dermatologist because my barber found a spot. So I have a hole in the back of my head. I'll show you the hole in my head if you show me your hair.
Jesus. Wait, I want to see.
All right,
okay?
I'll trade you. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so hat's coming off. There we go.
All right. This is great for the podcast.
Yeah, it's not great as
this looks like your hair. Yeah,
as audio.
Yeah. Well, no, the hat is
just
a
like
job
a head of hair.
You could honestly come to work every day like that, and no, I don't
yeah,
know
Whittingham's,
if we'd say anything.
Yeah. Not surprisingly, Whittingham's unkempt hair is not embarrassing
shorter
at all.
Shorter than my
it's
hair
only,
after I get a haircut.
It's only shameful for him because his hair is always perfect, whether he's going down a water slide or skydiving
your hair
or sleeping.
Fine.
Yeah.
No,
and now what is the exchange, Billy, that you're offering?
Now I'll just show my hair, which is going to be anticlimactic. Doesn't matter. Wait. I had a hole here.
Oh, okay.
Now it's just
it.
Like a little scab. Yeah.
That's not a fair trade.
Are you okay? Is everything all right with the hole in your head?
Well, I'll find out in 7 to 10 days, I was told. So
wow.
Cross your fingers.
Good luck, man.
That's a good question. Is it business days or regular days?
That's a good question.
Yeah. My dermatologist, Dan, has the weirdest business card I've ever seen. And I don't want to, you know, cast judgment on my dermatologist business card, but here's the
Does
thing.
Does it say I got some skin in the game?
No, the front is the front is all the information that's normal, like phone number, email, all of that stuff, right? And then the Instagram account, follow us on Instagram, and then the back of the card, because it's a square card, is just the Instagram logo.
That is weird. Just the Instagram logo? Does it have the Instagram?
It must have come that way, and it's just like there were some business cards that were lying around that look like that. That way you don't have to get new business cards, because you wouldn't, as a business, put it wouldn't be half of an advert for Instagram.
I don't think Instagram's business cards look like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Businesses should not be on Instagram. What? That should be just for individuals.
Why?
That's not
true. It's unprofessional.
I'm a business
that
on
is,
Instagram, I think.
It's a what's your business?
Jessica Smetana.
Yeah.
Incorporated?
Just Jessica Smetana. It's a business account.
But you're a person, though. It's an
Yeah,
it's,
but it's a business account.
You're so outdated
not a
on
person,
this ad.
Yeah,
this
no.
is hilarious.
What
no,
about restaurants? That's how I determine what I'm going to order at a restaurant. If I go somewhere for the first time, I go on their Instagram and I look at all the pictures of the food.
Yeah, I look down on restaurants that are on Instagram.
Well, you
yeah,
look up
you,
and then
you
look
look
all
down.
Of them?
You look up and then down.
The Greg Cody Show has an Instagram account.
Yeah,
we do. But that's not a business.
But
that's not a business.
It is a business.
It's
an attempt to drive revenue to the Miami Herald.
Well, I got to stop that.
It's also
then.
The GregCodyShow.com that
sells driving revenue
the GregCodyShow.com sells merch.
Stickers.
Well, I love how we've become a business, the Greg Cody Show, and he has no clue.
Greg, how is that possible? Greg, you're running a business. You don't understand how Instagram works.
I have
you
people.
You have what?
We're so old.
Like, how is it possible? How is it possible that you have an Instagram that is selling merch that you don't understand is a business.
No, I have a website selling merch.
Dad, you think the money that comes in from that is just coming out of thin air?
We're selling merchandise.
But that's a bit
of a barter system. You give me money, I give you a shirt.
But how do we promote that?
I miss barter.
I don't know.
On our Instagram.
Okay,
you're the worst.
I don't run the
Instagram. He has a staff for this.
I was unaware of this.
Exactly. Zagak.
You are running an Instagram business that's making money, and you don't know that you're running an Instagram business that's making money.
That's right. I'm being fleeced.
By yourself, of course. You think you're being fleeced by...
My staff is fleecing me.
By yourself.
Very painful to get fleeced by
anyway,
a staff.
Anyway, as I was saying, put it on... Put it on
long
the poll,
staff.
Guillermo, at Levitard Show.
It's a short staff.
Is it very painful to be fleeced by a long staff?
No, it's a beautiful website.
Wow, you coughed. You laughed without coughing.
I know. I feel great.
It's the chair, maybe,
it
I think.
It is a fiddle.
Yeah.
He's sitting in for Stugatz.
It is a fiddle.
We'll get back to Tua in a second. Do you know why the origins, what are the origins of fit as a fiddle? Why is a fiddle fit? But Whittingham, take us through and explain to Billy what Stugatz is up to. We were expecting him to work today, and then late last night, out of nowhere, he says, hey, going to be joining by Zoom. Do I know that he's in the country?
He is in the country.
Okay.
So not in the east coast of the country.
Oh, God.
But he did not learn at 7 p.m. last night, did he, that he would be on the other side of the country? He had already planned. He's already in on the other side of the country. I'm stunned that he's in the country. He's in the country.
Yes. He is on the west coast of the country.
But he's offering to still come in today, and he can't come in today because he's on the other side of the country.
Well, he's for today would have been on Zoom. He did offer to fly back cross-country today so he could be here tomorrow. So it would have been fly out cross country Sunday, fly back cross country Monday,
right,
work
I'm
Tuesday and Wednesday.
I'm gonna look up the Dead and Company tour.
Yeah,
location.
Well that's you're spot on. That's exactly
out.
They're at the Shoreline Amphitheater these next 2 days. Apparently that is a thing of significance. I don't know what that means.
Well they're breaking up, they're not gonna keep
it's
touring.
It's a place in Los Angeles where I guess it's very important that the Dead and Company are there.
Mountain View, California.
Chris Cody, do you have any theories on what's happening here?
I mean, it's Stugatz. He's going to a Dead show.
Does this mean, though, that he was trying to steal a week of vacation from the company?
I think it's hard to argue that when we all have unlimited PTO. So
damn right.
He could just take a vacation. Now there was a miscommunication about whether or not he had off days later this week. Which appears genuine, but
no, you can't say that with him.
that's why I use the word appears, because it would be awful cynical to be cynical about this.
Let me ask you just directly: if you had to guess and be right, was Stugatz trying to steal a week of vacation from the company, even though he doesn't have to do that? In order to feel like he's getting some scam, in order to get the feeling, because he can't do it to ESPN with expense accounts, he can't ruin every relationship we've ever had in South Florida with a sports radio station, he's got to do it to somebody. So even though it's not an actual functional scam, it makes him feel like he's scamming a week of vacation.
Yes. So
that's possible.
Yes, it is. So the alibi that I was given is that he was surprised with this trip. That he found out late Saturday night as a surprise that he was going to go to these Shoreline Amphitheater Dead shows.
Anniversary, birthday.
Father's Day.
Yeah, Father's
was
Day.
Was chucked in there.
Exactly. Why wouldn't he just tell you guys
months
in advance?
Dan, it's Stugatz. It doesn't feel real unless he's scamming us. Like, he doesn't want to go on a vacation that he's planned and communicated. It only feels good if he's kind
of
throwing us all under the bus. Yeah, I get it.
But you can't plan a surprise. Exactly. That's the thing, yeah.
But Billy, I got some heartfelt message from him, allegedly. He's like, I wanted you to hear it in my own voice. And then he blamed Abby for stuff.
Dan Owens Weens.
And then he says, Abby agrees that I did the wrong thing. And I'm like, what's the wrong thing? Are you in the country? He still hasn't told me what the wrong thing is, but he's still pretending that he can get in here today.
Well, not today. Today was always out of the question. It was tomorrow maybe Wednesday that he could be here. Now, he said to me at one point, oh, I thought I already had half a week, and wait, what's the big deal? It's just two more days. Yeah, yeah. But I was unaware of Wednesday and Thursday. Me, personally. Again, the reason given, it would be very hard to be cynical about. But I didn't know. It wasn't in our calendar. I presumed that I was getting a full week of Stugatz. Then it became 2 days on Zoom. Yeah. And now, as you hear, it's 0 days on
Zoom. He talked about, a few weeks ago, he talked about how he wanted to, in this summer, take like almost a month off to spend time with his kids who are, yeah. I guess they're going away to college soon. That's, it's like yeah. the last summer. And it was just
that's
like...
That's next month.
Okay. Because I was like, is this dead trip part of that? Or
No.
Okay. It's just him trying to scam however it is he can get the entire summer off. Okay, I'm glad we've at least established that. We'll yell at him at some future date about that. The Tua chasm at ESPN. Do we have a hierarchy of these in locker room beef phrases? There are schisms. There are chasms.
There's beef.
There is beef.
A tiff.
There's a locker room cancer. Is that a different thing?
I think the chasm invokes two camps. Whereas the cancer invokes one person causing a problem within a group. So I don't think cancer fits.
I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. You're pronouncing it, it's chasm, not chasm, right?
I think both are correct.
A chasm is what Jazz Chisholm did to the Marlins.
What?
His name is Chaz. I don't know, he's just doing a thing.
But it didn't really work.
Like, if Jazz Chisholm had a schism, it'd be a chat. I don't know, man.
Or a Jazz schism.
He's just repeating something that Juju wrote in the Zoom chat. Oh, did
he? I'm not even in Zoom. Did he write that?
Oh, you really want... Wait, so is that... Oh, really? We want to steal that joke?
Don't bring Juju down with you.
It was so well delivered that we want to either steal it or blame him. And probably Jism is the joke somewhere in there. If we were talking about if it's a Jazz Chisholm, it's a Jism.
Great minds think alike. I swear, I'm not even in the Zoom. Me and Juju.
Well, but there is, Billy, there is also a schism in the Marlins locker room because I saw
overblown.
That Jeff Passan says, I like the phrases. The John Heyman is reporting that the Marlins are not enamored with Jazz Chisholms. Let me see if I can see the phrase here because it was style and sizzle. The style and sizzle.
So weird.
Just like, say what you mean, man. They're not comfortable with the black guy with the purple hair.
And on the subject of jasms, like, it was so weird to see, like, oh, Garrett Cooper wore some t-shirt into the ballpark, yeah. And so that means something, and it's a divided camp, and that was the whole point of the meeting that they had last week, and Don Mattingly's still upset about it. It's so weird that in 2022, we're having in-locker room fights about guys with too big of personalities. He plays with a little bit too much flair, and that causes a problem. Like, what are we doing? It's 2022. We're still doing this?
The rumors are some people are peanut butter and jelly about Jazz getting all the attention and being a little bit better than some of the other players. But I'm not here to, you know, continue that narrative.
But Billy, that's the rumor. So what's the Billy Gill take on Jazz Chisholm's relationship with his teammates? Is it just, shut up, he's a lot better than you?
Well, I mean, some people said that it was all... I mean, Garrett Cooper, I think, said this was a lot of nothing, this whole meeting, and there was unnecessary nonsense, I think is what he said, something along the lines. So
but it was 90 minutes of unnecessary nonsense?
Well,
do you believe the Heyman reports, or you believe when you say it's nothing... John Heyman, credible baseball reporter, national baseball reporter. I was not reading that. I don't know. What did Craig Mish report about that meeting? But Heyman is reporting that it's about Chisholm's style and sizzle, which I love. That's different than schism or chasm.
Look,
it's
I
a
obviously
sizzle and
was
style
not
thing.
In this room, so I don't know what went on, right? There's the reports that a lot of people are not happy with Jazz, which I've heard that that's not just in the locker room, that there's people at all levels that are not happy with the way he goes about certain things, right?
God.
But then there's other people that say, you know what,
this might just be
jealousy amongst other players.
Greg, what are you oh my godding about?
I mean, first of all, since when did style and sizzle become a negative? To me, those are fun things. Those are positive things.
I think he's also arrogant. It can be both. You can be fun and flashy on the field, but you can also maybe have an attitude in the locker room towards your teammates that rubs people, especially when you haven't been in the pros that long.
Right.
Even though you have the talent, I don't know what they're talking about, but it is possible that he can be a fun person that all the fans love and also maybe be not the nicest and a little bit of a jerk.
He's backing it up. He's having a good season.
But that's the point. So if you're great, you can just be it. I'm not saying he's a jerk to his teammates. I don't know the details, but that's what they're implying here, that there's things that rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
It can be. It doesn't have to be you're either great or you're an like, you know what I mean? It could be in the middle. He's good, really talented, but also maybe needs to grow up a little bit.
That's another one of baseball's silly unwritten rules. You know, we want you to have a personality, but not too much personality. You know, you're not a veteran. You haven't paid your dues yet. You can't be flashy. Tone it down, son. You know, it's ridiculous, all these rules. The talk about Tua is that he doesn't have enough personality, that he's too withdrawn, that he's not approachable to teammates. And now with Jazz, it's the opposite. It's crazy. I'd rather have a Jazz Chisholm on my team. More personality that team needs. That's the only reason to watch the Marlins, who are in their 8th year in a row of not mattering, if not their 12th year in a row.
Well, they made the playoffs 2 years ago.
Well, don't get me started on that. They were 2 games above 500, and they made the playoffs in an expanded playoffs.
Well, they swept the NL Central champions in the first round.
That's fair. And then they went right back to hell.
Look, none of us were there, obviously, right? So we're just kind of guessing. There was a player that blocked multiple members of the media because he did not like what it is that was being said about him possibly being jealous of Jazz Chisholm.
Who was the player?
It was the team captain, Miguel Rojas. And they did not like that this was kind of being floated out there of maybe the fact that he was jealous of Jazz's success. I think that I don't know, obviously. None of us really know. Even the reporters don't know what was going on there. So what we're saying is just speculation, right? But I think it's also fair to say, hey, listen, if Jazz isn't doing things the Marlins way or whatever way you guys think he should be doing things, also, you almost lost 100 games last year. So what is that way exactly?
The Marlins don't have a way. They don't have a way.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do the Marlins have a way?
They don't. They don't have a way. You got to have a way, you have to win consistently.
There are layers to this.
There's right ways and wrong ways to do things, but like this team isn't at the, hey, this is the proven right way to do things to build success, I would say.
What are the worst ways in sports, like the Magic way? Like of all sports, the Marlins aren't it. They're not in top 10 of terrible. No, they're not. I mean, bottom 10 is what I'm actually saying. But I'm trying to think of like the
Sacramento
worst.
Kings
the
way.
There you go.
They haven't been to the playoffs in 16 years.
Like if
years.
We did a bottom 10 of sports, the Marlins don't crack it, right? They're like they've had a couple of World Series. They don't crack it.
I think the Marlins have that bad of a reputation, particularly in baseball. Like as an organization that has once been reprimanded for not spending enough money, that's probably as low as you, I think,
lying about attendance numbers. Yeah. Like this is as bad a franchise as there is anywhere in sports. But do they have a way? No, they don't have a way. But as it regards Jazz Chisholm, Billy, he is the personality, flair, and the talent and the pop in his bat. Like right on the cusp of somebody who, if he played in any market, it would be like, oh, holy shit, here comes a star baseball player. Like this is a special baseball player. But he also knows it. And since Barry Bonds in baseball, the jerk who knows it, or Chuck Carr. Yeah, are you too young to remember Chuck Carr, who used to come into the clubhouse with in a leather jacket with his face painted on the back? And when his manager got mad at him for swinging 3-0, he said, everybody knows Chucky hacks 3-0.
Yeah.
Like just a cartoon character of arrogance, but he wasn't actually as good as Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, but Jazz is also not closer to Barry Bonds than he is to Chuck Carr. Like, it's his second year. He's still figuring it out.
I know, but in the culture of this sport, it's Garrett Cooper telling you, tone it down, son.
Garrett Cooper did the opposite. Garrett Cooper said this is a bunch of nonsense and then went out and wore a Jazz t-shirt when he did a hit on MLB Network. And then furthermore, which I was kind of surprised to see when everyone was reporting, hey, everyone in the Marlins hates Jazz, the Marlins changed their Instagram picture to be Jazz's face. So, I mean, do with that what you will.
So what is it, though? But what's the truth, Billy? I ask you as somebody who cares about this team. You can take every side of everything, and there's now been reporting from this locker room. Schism, chasm, chasm, that's not a jism that Billy says is overblown, but it's something.
Well, they won 5 straight afterwards.
No,
so
but
obviously
then they ran into that horse Verlander. How the hell is that guy still around there? How's this still happening? What do you mean, well?
They were only down by one, and then they had a bad inning, and then they lost by a couple more. But you know what happens? They won five straight before that.
And lost ground somehow because the teams above them are
the winning NL East like 10 is in a row. Crazy right now. Everyone's on like 35-game win streaks, I think. Look it up.
How is Verlander still a horse? Can someone explain to me the hoarseness of Verlander? They had a five-game winning streak going into Verlander, and he was something like, minus 240. It was such a given that that they were not going to beat Verlander. There was right. No baseball's random, but not on the days Verlander
well,
pitches.
Well, he's their Sandy Alcantara.
But how still? How old is he? His body, it seems like he's throwing
39.
In parts.
Is he really? No way.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was 39.
He'd be the oldest person in this room by like a decade if he walked in.
How physically is that man able to do what it is that he is still doing, throwing lightning from the sky?
He's thrown seven innings in his last three starts. That's the most stunning baseball game log I've seen this season. Seven innings for three starts in a row?
But he's caballote. We've said that before. He's beyond God and caballo and horse. He's good.
He's good.
Bionic.
Justin Verlander is very good at baseball.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA play-in tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Don Lebatard.
I'm gonna get some golf ASMR.
Stugatz.
Oh, me.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Let's backtrack on Chisholm, Chasm, Tua. Do you guys not find it funny that in the inability to do any kind of evaluation on this, we'll just have a spectrum and a chart of people who believe most strongly in both directions, and then Tua just becomes an artistic symbol for, well, it's not possible to actually do the analysis here, so let me see how far left or middle I can go on my analysis. As Lewis Riddick and Ryan Clark say, undecided. I'm right in the middle. It's hard to make an analysis when your offensive line is that bad, and none of us actually know whether Tyreek Hill will be streaking down the field seven times this season because there's some sort of offensive scheme McDaniel has put in, and Whittingham is scarred by past and knows that Tua will stink this year because all the quarterbacks for the Dolphins always stink.
Well, I always find interesting that like in this divide, there is the desire from the people in his camp to promote him. So Tyreek Hill is launching a podcast, and his praise has taken steps forward over the course of time. So I read a headline a week ago, and I saw the clip, and I can play it for you right now.
Please, but I've seen that Tyreek Hill keeps trending. Every couple of days, he says something, and he sends out a video. Tyreek Hill right now is Tua's greatest publicist, but he's not great at the doing of publicity. He's called him 10 Matt Moores, which I don't think is a compliment. Is that the sound that you have here where he calls him 10 Matt Moores? He's better than
10. Well, that's the first of two sounds that I have of him praising Tua Tagovailoa. So here's the first.
I just want people to understand that I went for 150 with Matt Moore as my quarterback. I love you, Matt Moore. Versus the Minnesota Vikings. If you don't remember that game, 150 and one touchdown with Matt Moore as my quarterback. So who? Hey, and Tua.
So what you trying to say?
At Tua T is 10 Matt Moores. I love Matt Moore. But Tua T is 10 Matt Moores.
Yeah. What a 10 Matt Moores.
So unfair to Matt Moore. That man's just enjoying a nice trip with his family. Sees a headline pop up. What'd I do to you, Tyreek?
But also, I mean, Matt Moore's enjoying a vacation with his family because he made a living. I'm going to guess that Matt Moore in his career made $30 million. I'm sure.
Maybe more.
Yeah, perhaps more.
Pissed it all away.
Hey.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Let the jokes sit. And pissed it all away. Why would that be your contribution? No, let's think about this for a second.
What?
Why would your contribution to this conversation be to assume that Matt Moore had pissed away his entire fortune?
You know, I have no evidence to back up what I said. It could be libelous. Slanderous. Sorry, Matt. Good dude, Matt Moore. Underrated. Wise investor. He's not worth $100 million, Matt Moore. As far as I know.
What is Tyreek Hill supposed to say about Tua?
That's right. That's well put.
I mean, he's defending his guy.
Well, when he calls him to a T, is it because he's so new here that Tungavailoa, he's still a little scared of it?
The heady play.
I think he'll be to a T to Tyreek Hill for as long as he's in Miami. I don't think...
He's never going to learn his name?
I would set the over-under for Dolphins that know how to pronounce Tua's last name at like 10.5.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Number of Dolphins who can correctly pronounce Tungavailoa's last name. Over 10.5, under 10.5.
You don't need to, though. I mean, how many people go around and say their coworkers' first and last name when talking about them?
Right. You just say Tua.
Exactly.
Well, but he's saying now Tua T, though. He's saying Tua T is 10 Matt Moores, and you've got to do code on that. Look, this happened this weekend with Chris Webber. I loved when Chris Webber, everybody's talking about Draymond Green, and I can't get enough talking about Draymond Green because I love that he's bringing all manner of attention to himself, and he just stinks. Like he's getting
benched.
And his numbers are like the worst in the history of anyone who's ever played that many minutes in the finals, where he gets fouls. Like
shooting 0%
from
three.
He's welcomed all this attention, and he's afraid to shoot. He's Ben Simmons, and it's just amazing to watch. But Chris Webber, in the middle of this, got twisted into this. Is Draymond the Wes Welker of the NBA? Yes or no? And if yes, what does that mean? And what does that mean for him and Wes? It's basically, he has no idea how to talk about this. He wants to talk about, like, what is this? Is he Wes Welker of NBA? Yes or no? And if yes, what does that mean? And what does that mean for him and Wes? As Draymond's mom, his Draymond, comes out and says, I've never seen Draymond look like this. He looks rattled. He has welcomed everything. His own mother says this. Now Tua is getting in the news. Now Tyreek Hill is welcoming into the news stream every week with more and more defenses of Tua. 10 Matt Moores. Now what's the latest escalation? Because 10 Matt Moores was not enough of a compliment for Tua T.
As far as accuracy-wise, I'm going with Tua all day.
So which one would you rather have? The deep ball where you got to scramble around the field to try to go find it? But then you want that accuracy to hit you right in the bread basket on the run?
I want it to hit me right in the bread basket just like I did in the Buffalo Bills game and take it 70. And the rest is history.
And again, this is not a shot at anybody.
Right.
This is just stuff that had to be said.
It needed to be said.
Yeah. More accurate than Mahomes. He'd rather it in the breadbasket from Tua than a scramble and a chuck from Patrick Mahomes.
It's a matter of fact.
So he should have said, I'd prefer Mahomes. Is that what you guys want?
It's patently absurd.
So he should have said, I can't speak on this. He's just a guy who's a teammates with the guy all of a sudden. He's building him up.
You can obfuscate and be political about this. Like, you don't have to say that you prefer Tua over Mahomes. Now,
he said more accurate.
He said more accurate.
Yeah. What if he believes it?
No, but he then said, what would you prefer? The accurate ball from Tua into your breadbasket or the deep ball from Mahomes? And he said, in my breadbasket, and I could take it 70. That's what he said. And so he's basically saying, I prefer the Tua experience to the Mahomes experience, which maybe he actually believes that. But it's unfathomable to suggest that you'd rather play with Tua Tagovailoa than Patrick Mahomes based off of the year and a half of evidence that we have. It's ridiculous.
Well, we don't have evidence. He hasn't played with Tua yet.
Well, that's fair. But, I mean, we have the year and a half of Tua playing in the NFL with some speedy targets, I might add. Like, it's not like the Miami Dolphins have lacked for speed. It might not be as refined as Tyreek Hill is.
Not this speedy. Not speedy. I love the expectations that Tyreek Hill is coming with and that he's bringing his mouth with him, because Tyreek Hill is the same guy, I remind you, who said, what's to stop the Chiefs from winning 10 straight championships? When him and Chandler Jones were talking about, are we going to win 5 championships, 10 championships? He has come down here to be a star. It's not just a team he shares with Kelce and Mahomes anymore. Tyreek Hill has started his podcast and is here to tell you, I'm a skilled position player in this league who has value. I want to talk. I want to be out there. I'm the star for this team. And now I'm going to pin my hopes to this guy. And I hope it succeeds. The thing that I wanted to ask you guys as it ties back into Draymond Green, how do you think all of that goes if Steve Kerr benches Draymond Green and then the Warriors lose to go down 3-1? Do you think Draymond is reacting the same way, talking about all he needs to do is win and all he cares about is winning? Because that was a momentous, hard decision that Steve Kerr made of like, I've got to get my guy out of here. The heart and soul of my team, this our season's going to be decided here in the fourth quarter. I need defense because Tatum right here is where superstars take over a series and he's going to go 1-for-6. I need defense. Get out of here. Get me someone else. Draymond, I can't. I thought that was an unbelievably ballsy coaching decision to take Draymond Green out in that situation.
And then when he does finally put him back in the game is going offense defense with him. Basically saying, I don't want you on the floor offensively. And the substitute is not exactly an offensive juggernaut in Kevon Looney. Now, Steve Kerr clearly loves Kevon Looney, but that's not necessarily a huge upgrade. It's, you know, cleaning the glass offensively and trying to, you know, get some scraps here and there. But it's not like you're getting an improvement in shooting, which is sort of what Golden State needs right now. It's kind of odd to watch them be constipated offensively, watch them even when Steph Curry is going off, even when they're coming back in the fourth quarter, and even still at the end of the game, their half-court offensive numbers are pretty terrible. They don't have enough offensively, other than, well, they do because they have Steph Curry. But beyond that, they don't really have enough, and there isn't an option to turn to. So basically, Steve Kerr's just saying, between the defense of Looney and what he can give you from an offensive rebounding standpoint, and the fact that he's not even tempted to shoot a three. Really, it's the temptation for Draymond Green in the series that he's taken 9 times and missed all of them.
They need to spread the floor, and he is not doing that. You see how small the margin for error is, even when you've got the best shooter ever, and he's got to be great in that circumstance, because once you shrink the floor to, holy shit, that Celtics defense is long, and they get out there fast, and once you shrink the court because one of the guys refuses to shoot out there, or you don't have to guard Draymond because he's just going to dribble handoff all the time, you've made it even harder for Steph Curry than it all. You keep asking for more and more greatness from Steph Curry because he's already shooting in very small windows, and he's the fastest shooter and most accurate shooter that way in the history of the sport, and it's requiring all of him to overcome what is the Celtics' talent disparity.
But he keeps giving what you're asking for. Right? Despite everything you just said, he scores 42. He'll find a way. Golden State's going to win this series because Steph Curry will find a way. He's the best player on the floor.
He's the smallest player on the floor.
That's right.
He's the smallest player on the floor.
Which accentuates his greatness.
It's fine. You can predict that. I just won't disparage him if he doesn't win. I won't disparage either of these people. For me, if Tatum is the same player now that he'll be 3 games from now, Curry, to me, is no better 3 games from now. I don't need to see anything in the discussion of where it is that these players are to prove anything to me. Tatum is great, and he'll throw up a 3-for-17 game, and I wish Stugatz were here so that we can have the conversation and another one about, I don't think Tatum becomes Kevin Durant if he wins or if he loses. He's a player that every once in a while you're going to wonder to yourself, is he going to give me 10 points in a 3-for-17 game in a way that's weird? Or is he going to disappear on me in the fourth quarter of this last game when that series was there for the taking? When it's you and Steph Curry, who's going to take the series?
And Jason Tatum right now has a lower field goal percentage than Steph Curry's points per game in this series. Like, I think Jason Tatum has a lot of work to do in this series to kind of rehab what's been a pretty poor finals performance. Now, I think he's going to get better over the course of time. He's only 24. It's pretty easy to forget that he's only 24 years old. So he's going to get better as a player, but to salvage what's left of this series for him, he's got to turn in 2 or 3 really good performances. I actually don't know, from an offensive standpoint, who has been Boston's best player in this series. It's probably been Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown.
But like, it would be pretty hard to argue, like, oh, that's like it's been a finals MVP performance from, like, their ability to survive in this series is their staggering ability to defend. And I know that it's difficult to argue that after they gave up 43 to Steph Curry and the third quarter that he had in that series?
To me, the reason it goes in the Pantheon, and I know I think he scored almost 50 in a loss against the Raptors, if I'm not mistaken. But the reason that one goes in the Pantheon, for those of you who say that Steph Curry does not have signature moments in the finals, I could put that at the very top shelf of what it is that he's done because of who he was doing it against and because we've never seen the Warriors look limited except for Steph. That's not a thing. That's not a that's a foreign concept to us. What he did against a great Celtics defense was breathtaking. It was greatness of the highest order that shrunk even Jason Tatum, and I don't blame Jason Tatum for that. You lost to one of the all-time greats, a historic great, being historically great when your defense was great and it wasn't as great as he is.
And you were kind of talking in the build-up to these finals as the Warriors as like the final boss in a video game, right? Like they're the last challenge for the team that comes out of the East. I think it's proven in these finals that Boston's defense was the final boss in these playoffs, that they're the thing to overcome, and Steph Curry has done it twice, fairly remarkably. He's actually, in all four games, overcome. It's been an incredible
defense. I cannot believe how well he's shooting.
Also, in the, you mentioned the small windows, and it's remarkable whenever he makes those threes, like in the third quarter, all of them were absurd. Two of them should have been and ones, in my opinion, but all of them were absurd, and it's Robert Williams coming off the screen. And he normally sags all the way back because of how he defends. He's still defending pretty high for him. And even still, the commentators are like, higher, higher, get into Steph Curry. And it's got to be so weird for these guys that are wired one way for whatever it is, 100 games before you get to the finals. And then Steph Curry greets you, and you have to completely undo all of your wiring to just anything but allow Steph an angle or a window to shoot.
I am grateful for this analysis, Billy, because I want to go the other way opposite on this, because I will not disparage Steph Curry no matter what happens in the next three games, because he is playing a different sport than everyone else out there, and he's changing, like he already changed the game in one way and still is ahead of everyone at 33, 34 years old, doing that better than anybody against the best defense in the league. But Billy, on the opposite end of the spectrum, I have a new favorite athlete locally. Jessica, I don't know who it is. I don't know if you have seen him. Of course, you know who it is, but he won a game for the Marlins the other day. But let me explain to you how it is I came to see who it is that he was. So at the Marlins game the other day, when I'm watching a catcher come out and just take warm-ups from the pitcher, I see a guy that I assume is a bullpen catcher, a guy who works as a clubhouse guy. He's really heavy, and when he's stepping in behind home plate, he's got a bit of ass crack showing, and I'm like, this is not a major leaguer. This
that
is
no impossible. Way. You actually right. saw ass yes. crack?
Yeah, well, no, he has a jersey tucked.
Okay,
no
well,
way.
It felt like I... It
in your mind.
Like, in my mind, I saw ass crack. Fine, I don't remember, but I did not think. So then I go to the Marlins. I don't go to the Marlins roster. I go to the Marlins assistant coaches in front office, bullpen coach. Like, is there somebody? I'm looking, who is this? Who is this person? It can't be a player. And then I look on the roster, and I'm on catchers, and he's not a catcher. And I'm like, wait a minute. Willems Astudillo is not a catcher? The Marlins have this fat guy that I remember running for the Twins, who I remember him scoring, and I was like, wow, baseball players don't look like that anymore. What position does he play?
He's a middle infielder and pitcher every time there's a blowout.
And yeah. third base, too. I think he's a utility guy.
Middle infielder?
And base he plays dealer. Everywhere,
he can play
man.
Anywhere.
Yeah, he's a jack of all trades.
Lead off yeah. So I can imagine this guy at short? Oh, I love
it. Frank Askren.
I don't know. Has he played short yet? I've seen him at second and third.
He could play short if he had to.
I'm sure he could.
Yeah. He does pitch. He pitches like four times a year. Yeah, every time there's a blowout, he's the guy they go to pitch. Yeah.
Jessica, why did you drop your head into your hands in shame and convulsing laughter? Is it because the Marlins now have a second baseman?
No. It's because Greg just out of nowhere said Frank Askren into the mic.
Funny name.
Maybe that's who you saw.
What is Frank Askren? Who is Frank Askren?
Well, Levitard claimed he saw the gentleman's ass crack, mm-hmm. and so I'm just putting two and two together.
He's trying to help out, yeah.
Right. It's not Frank.
Thank you, Billy. It couldn't have been Williams Astudillo because he has his name and number on the back. So we're still trying to figure out who Dan saw.
Who is
maybe
Frank?
It was Frank Asscrack.
It's a no, Frank is I, my go-to I, name. Frank no, and Al yeah. are the Al's two funniest a good one, first yeah. names.
Billy, I saw that it said Astudillo on the back of his jersey, but I couldn't remember the last name when I went to go look it up. And so when I'm looking it up, I'm looking for the bullpen. I'm looking for something that triggers what is this dude's name? And
was it Asscrack or no?
It was not Frank Asscrack. Okay. No, but you've imagined. I believe what happened there comedically, Jessica, is that Greg was creating a middle infield for the Marlins that had Astudillo at short and Frank Asscrack as the second baseman.
Right.
Correct. That would be a fun name for a baseball
player.
Well,
is Frank Asscrack a second baseman, Greg? We haven't asked, I guess.
I think he was.
Yeah.
Astudillo, are you delighted at the idea? You're telling me there's a possibility that the Marlins will put that body type at short?
Yeah, maybe.
They have not yet. He's a utility guy. He's a guy in an emergency, yeah. could play short, he's you know, I don't think they're going to put him there.
Chisholm to Asscrack, and the Marlins turn two.
Chisholm to Asscrack, and the Marlins turn
two. This is so mean. You guys are just now naming this guy Asscrack?
Not this guy.
No, Frank Asscrack.
No, he's got a different guy. He's got the fictional
character.
He's not real. No, it's the Asscrack I imagine that was not there, as you guys... As you guys said, but Astudillo, there is not a body type like that in the big leagues, right? That's the only one.
Well, there's a Bartolo Colon.
No, now. Mm. Now in the big leagues, that is the only body type like that one. That guy's skills must be, you could put anyone on a roster.
Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah.
That guy must have skills as a utility player that others don't have to be able to overcome whatever it is that scouts would do to dismiss him because he's not in shape or because they don't think of him as being someone who is fit enough to wear a uniform. Because that is not you. I've got a new favorite player, Billy. I just don't think how many at bats does he have this season?
More than eight, I would say. I'll look it up.
He scored the winning run, though. No, he does not pitch.
Yeah, well, he pitch only pitches
in blowouts.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
When they're
that's
losing,
amazing.
When they're losing by 15 runs.
Good for him.
It's not really amazing, though. It's just when they need an arm out there.
Yeah, a two-way player like Ohtani.
There was a game a couple weeks ago where there was two position players pitching against each other.
Oh, I love that.
Why are we even finishing those games? Like, why are they dragging that out, especially like if it was on a weeknight? Why are you making people stay till 10:30 to finish a game where... Neither team seems to care. They're just trying to go through the motions and get it done.
You want a run rule?
No, I want someone to say, hey, you know what? Like, this is ridiculous. Let's all just go home. We
so,
give
like,
up.
A gentleman's agreement?
Yep.
Like, yeah. If the two managers meet at home plate and shake each other's hands, that's the end of the ball game.
Well, I mean, look, one team clearly has given up and is not trying anymore, right?
Yeah. Both teams have basically said, all right, this game is over. We're done here.
So why drag it out?
I agree. I also think baseball games should end in a draw when they go past 10 innings.
Hmm.
Well, then fans would sue. Seriously, you would have a fan sue.
Sue?
For being cheated.
Yeah. It's America. People sue over everything here.
I paid for 9-plus innings. You're only giving me 7. I want a 22% cash
back. I feel like most people at a baseball game want it to end.
Well,
I like baseball, and I'm always like, oh, man, it's only the 6th.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Do most people at a baseball game want it to end?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.